Okay, so we're recording. Okay, so let's start. Thank you everybody for coming. We're going to talk about the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer from a halachic perspective. So we sent out the handout, and Ezra Yashikler for all the technical support and with the emails and the computer. So Ezra, it posted the handout on the screen itself, and we'll follow along with this year. Okay, the Tosfos in Menachos brings the Shita of the Bahag, the Sefer Halachos Gedolos, a very, very early commentary, who says the following. And this is something we all know. We're going to talk about the rationale, the logic, and the svara behind it. Hecha de shochach lispor balayla. So if a person forgets to count Sfiras HaOmer at night, you have all night to count. Posak bahag, so the halachas gedolos paskins, shesoifer bayoim, that you're still able to count during the day. Now, most rishonim, when they bring this psak, this ruling of the bahag, they allow you to count during the day with a bracha. That's not our minhag because it's subject to a debate. So we count in the morning without a bracha. If we forgot to count the night before, we make it up and count during the next day without a bracha. But the Bahag's opinion is that you're allowed to count even the next day with a bracha. However, says the Bahag, and this is something we're familiar with, Od posak the halachas gedolos, another ruling of the Bahag, she'im hifsik yoim echad, if you missed a day completely, v'loy sofar, and you didn't count, shuv einu sofer, you can no longer count. Now, no one's going to stop you from counting, but he means you can no longer fulfill the mitzvah, and you would no longer be able to make a bracha. Shuv einu sofer, you can no longer count. Mishum deboi tmimois, because the pasuk says you must count 49 days, 7 weeks, complete 49 days, complete 7 weeks. And if you're missing a day, you can no longer fulfill that complete seven weeks, 49 days. And therefore, you can no longer count with a bracha. That is the opinion of the Bahag, and Tosfos in Menachos brings this opinion. Tosfos concludes there with very strong words. V'sayim sham ha-Tosfos. Tosfos concludes with the following five words, and that's the end of the Tosfos. Tema gedoylehu. This is something that's baffling. This ruling is baffling. It's like inconceivable. V'lo yetochen, and it's impossible. So Tosfos disagrees very strongly with the Bahag. And Tosfos says, even if you forgot to count a day and you forgot to make it up, you didn't make it up the next day, you completely left out one of the days of the Sfira, you can continue counting with a bracha. Now, what's the esoid of the machlekes? What's the root of the argument between Tosfos and the Bahag? So the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Shin Vav, that's the Mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, he writes the following. He was Masber the Das Bahag. This is a quote now from the Sefer HaChinuch. Yesha Amru, there are those who say, if a person forgot and didn't count an entire day, he can no longer count Sfira that year. Why? Mitzvah. Now, it's ironic because on the sheet, somehow the critical word, the punchline got somehow deleted. That's the wording of the Sefer HaChinuch. It's all one mitzvah. That's what the Bahag meant when he said that you can only fulfill the mitzvah if it's tmimos, if you completely counted all 49 days. Tmimos, the nature of the mitzvah is it has to be complete. What does that mean? Says the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch is explaining the opinion of the Bahag because it's all one mitzvah. Shekulon mitzvah achasi, it should say. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. Umikivan sheshochach mehen yoimechot. So now that you forgot one day, hare kol hachesbin batol mimenu, the entire count is void, is down the drain. V'loi hoidu marenu, but our rabbeim, says the Chinuch, disagree with the Bahag. So we have a machlokes here between the Bahag and Tosfos. It's brought in Tosfos and Menachos. The Sefer HaChinuch explains the machlokes. He explains, I should say, the opinion of the Bahag. The opinion of the Bahag is that the entire count is one mitzvah. It's one long mitzvah that has a duration of 49 days. I count the first day. I count the second day. I count the third day. It's all components of the one mitzvah. And if you forget one of the nights, you're missing that link in the chain. It's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah. Imagine if I have a lulav. I need to have four minim. I have to have the lulav, the hadasim, the aravos, and the esrig. What if I don't have the esrig? What if I don't have the hadasim? Can I fulfill the mitzvah with the rest? Can I make a bracha? No, because the mitzvah is one complete mitzvah. I need the four species in order to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav and esrig. It's one mitzvah. So says the Bahag, according to the Sefer HaKenuch, that counting the Omer is the same thing. All 49 days are components of the same mitzvah. If you miss day 5, for example, you're missing your esrig. You don't have enough to fulfill the mitzvah with the rest. That is how the Sefer HaKenuch explains the Bahag. Now, v'lehoidu meireinu, but our Rabbeim disagree. Shebedoireinu, in our generation, as far as zu. Now, look what the Sefer HaKenuch says, what the other opinion holds. This is what Tosfos would say to do. Elamisha shochach yoim echad, imagine if I forgot, let's say, day number 5. Yoimar, so on day number 6, I should say, emesh hayukach, yesterday was 5, without a bracha, Umoina Acherim in Kol Yisrael, and I can continue counting day 6 with the bracha along with the rest of Kol Yisrael. So the Bahag says once you forget a day, it's all over. The Sefer HaKenuch explains the rationale of the Bahag because it's one mitzvah. Once you miss a component of the mitzvah, it's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety, and therefore you can't fulfill the mitzvah. It's all or nothing. But the others argue on the Bahag, says the Sefer HaKenuch, and what would they do? They would say, to continue the count, yesterday, the day that I forgot, that I neglected to count, is day 5, and today is day 6. You have to speak out that I forgot to count yesterday, but it was day 5, and now it's day 6. That's the Machlokes. Now, what's the rationale for the Chokim al Bahag, the one who argues on the Bahag? The Tosfos argues on the Bahag very strongly. Teima Gedoyla, it's a wonderment and it's inconceivable. Why does Tosfos argue so strongly against the Bahag? So the Rosh says at the end of Maseches Pesachim, and I quote, "Ve'ein nira l'ri," so the Ri disagrees, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, "the kol laila v'laila mitzvah bifnei atzmoihi," because each night of the Sfira is a separate mitzvah. So counting the 49 days is not as if the whole 49 days is one big lulav and esrog, so to speak. The 49 days, each night of Sfira, is another opportunity to perform another mitzvah. 49 mitzvahs. How many mitzvahs do you get if you count the whole Sfira from beginning to end? According to the Bahag, you get one mitzvah. According to the Ri, according to Tosfos, and according to the ones who disagree with the Bahag, you get 49 mitzvahs. Each night is its own separate mitzvah. Now, the Brisker Rav, the Griz, in his commentary on Menachos, he also defines the argument. The root of the argument is the following. We're going to see the reason why I'm elaborating on this is because there's another way to understand the Bahag. But in the meantime, the way we're understanding the Bahag is that the 49 nights of Sfira is one long mitzvah. If you manage to get through the whole Sfira, you got one mitzvah, one big mitzvah you got for counting all 49 days. The Brisker Rav explains it as well. I quoted the Brisker Rav, "V'nira b'kavonas ha-bahag." So it appears that the intent of the Bahag is the Sfira lei, the mitzvah Sfira hakol mitzvah achasi, that the entire counting of the Sfira is one big mitzvah. The hainu chamishim yoim b'sheva shabbosos, the 50 days, which is including Shavuos, the 49 days of the count, and the 7 weeks. The zehu di alfinon mitmimois. That's what the Bahag meant when he invokes the word tmimois, that it's one big mitzvah. Therefore, says the Brisker Rav, im shochach yom echad shuvenu sofer, that if you forgot one day, there's no point to continue counting because you can't possibly continue the mitzvah. Tosfos, who says that it's a teima gedoyla, that it's baffling, that this ruling is inconceivable, is incorrect, that's because each night is its own mitzvah bifnei atzmoi. That's how the Brisker Rav explains it. So the Brisker Rav is spot on because the Sefer HaKenuch also, the Rishon, the Sefer HaKenuch also explained the argument that way, that the Bahag holds it's one big mitzvah. So if you forget one of the nights, there's no way to fulfill the mitzvah. And the Chokim, the ones who argue, Tosfos and the Sefer HaKenuch, the Rabbanan of the generation of the Sefer HaKenuch, they hold that each night is a separate mitzvah. Now, I found a third opinion that's brought in the Tur. In the name of Rav Sadia Goin, and he says the following, a fascinating thing. Im shochach bi echod min hayomim. So this Rav Sadia Goin has like a pshara. He has a compromise opinion between the Ri and the Bahad. Says Rav Sadia Goin, if a person forgot to count one of the nights of the Svira, let's say he forgot day 5, so he can go on, he can make a bracha and continue counting on all the subsequent days. However, says Rav Sadia Goin, if he forgot the first night, chutz mi laila harishoin, if he forgot to count the first night, and he didn't recite a bracha then, meaning he didn't count, then he can no longer count. So this is like a compromise position. If you forgot a random day in the middle, you forgot day 6, you forgot day 7, you can continue counting 8, 9, 10 with a bracha. But if you forgot the first night of Sfira, then you blew it, and then you can't count with a bracha. Now the Bach is a commentary on the tour. He explains the opinion of Rav Sadia Goin. So I quoted the Bach. Let's read the Bach together in the Hebrew. Mishum de Sfira le, because Rav Sadia Goin holds the kol Sfiras Hayomim mitzvah achasi, that the entire count of the Sfira has chalasa b'tezvav b'nisan, starting on Tes Zayin, it should say b'nisan, on the second day of Pesach, v'gamra b'hebisivan, and it completes the day before Shavuos. It's one long mitzvah. So in a sense, the Rav Sadia Goin holds like the halachas gedolos that the 49 days is one big mitzvah. Therefore, if you started counting the first night, you started the mitzvah. Now, this is where Rav Sadia Goin veers off from the Bahag. They start off the same, that it's one long mitzvah, but then the Sadia Goin takes it, he diverts, he takes a left turn. Even though it's one long mitzvah, but if you forget one of the nights, you forgot one of the components, even if you forgot one of the nights, leslan ba, there's no concern. You can continue counting with a bracha after. Because at least you completed the mitzvah that you started. I started on the first night, even though I dropped some of the components, like some of the pieces of the mitzvah I dropped, but as long as you continue, we still view it that you're continuing and completing the mitzvah that you started. You start the one long mitzvah on the first night, and you continue completing the mitzvah through the 49 days. Even if you left out some days here and there, but at least you completed the mitzvah that you started. But if you forgot the first night, you can no longer start the mitzvah. He aims a mitzvah sasvira, because that's not the mitzvah to start, for example, on the 17th of Nisa. The mitzvah is to start on the 16th of Nisa. If you forgot the very first night, you're already starting on the 17th or the 18th or after that. Once you pass the beginning of the Zman, then there's no way to complete the mitzvah. The expression of the Bach, batla mimenu ha-mitzvah legamri, you completely lost the mitzvah. Now, so the Bach, in a nutshell, says that it's one long mitzvah, like the Bahag. If you forget along the way, it's okay. Why? Because you started the mitzvah on time, and even though you left out some of the pieces, they're not critical, and you completed the mitzvah that you started. But if you didn't start it on time, then you can't continue, then there's no way to start up the mitzvah, and therefore you lost your opportunity to do the mitzvah. The way I understand what the Bach is saying is that it's one long mitzvah. If you don't start the mitzvah on time, then you completely change the nature of the mitzvah. It's like you're counting from day 2. You didn't start the mitzvah on time. The mistake you made leaving out the first night changes the nature of the mitzvah. And when I count the 48 days, because I forgot the first night, you're not presenting, you're not giving the mitzvah. You didn't create that product of the 49 days. However, if you started the first night, so you have the beginning and you have the end, you've completed the mitzvah that you've started, and therefore the pieces in between, the components in between, are not critical. So we have three opinions. Now, take a look how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. This is item Vav. L'halacha, we concern ourselves, we are choishish for the shita of the Bahag L'chumra. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Tav Peites Halacha Ches, and this is a quote from the Shulchan Aruch. Look how the Shulchan Aruch writes the halacha. Im shochach levarach bi'echad min hayamim. If someone forgets to count one of the days, bein yom rishon, whether it's the first night, ben mishar yamim, or whether it's any of the other nights, soifer mishar yamim b'loy bracha. He should continue counting, but he should not make a bracha. So let's analyze the holy words of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you forgot one of the nights, whether it was the first night, or whether it was one of the subsequent nights, he should continue counting, but he should not make a bracha. So what is the Shulchan Aruch doing? The Shulchan Aruch is really straddling all of the opinions. He mentions if you forget the first night, that's the opinion of Rav Sadia Gaon. If you forgot the first night, then you can no longer make a bracha. Even if you didn't forget the first night, but you forgot some subsequent night, that's already the opinion of the Bahag. You also can no longer count with a bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch defers to the opinion of the Bahag and Rav Sadia Gaon. But then he says you should continue to count anyway, even though you can no longer make a bracha. Why? Because he defers, because he's also chayshish for the opinion of the Ri, of the ones who disagree with the Bahag and Rav Sadia Gaon, who hold that each night is an independent mitzvah, is a separate mitzvah, so therefore you should continue counting just in case you're still obligated, but you cannot recite a bracha because perhaps the Bahag, or if you forgot the first night, Rav Sadia Gaon perhaps is right that you can no longer fulfill the mitzvah. So the Shulchan Aruch is being chayshish for all of the opinions lechumra. He takes all sides. If you forgot to count, whether it's the first night or any other subsequent night, you can no longer make a bracha. That's in deference to the Bahag and Rav Sadia Gaon. That's concerning himself that maybe it's one big mitzvah and it's no longer possible to fulfill the mitzvah. I can't make a bracha. However, continue counting because you have nothing to lose. Maybe you'll fulfill the mitzvah if the Ri's opinion is correct that each night is a separate mitzvah. So that's the three opinions on the matter. The Ri's opinion is that each night is a separate mitzvah, and even if you forgot the first night or any other night, you can count because each day is its own mitzvah. There are 49 mitzvahs here that we get to do. According to the Bahag and Rav Sadia Gaon, it's one big mitzvah, and then they argue in a detail, one big mitzvah, but are the days in between, are they critical or not? The Bahag holds they're critical, and therefore if you forgot one of the days, there's no way to fulfill the mitzvah. And Rav Sadia Gaon says that although it's one big mitzvah, the minimum requirement is to start the mitzvah and then complete the mitzvah, even if you left out the days in between. Theoretically, according to the Rav Sadia Gaon, you can count day 1 and then you can count day 49. You started and you completed the mitzvah that you started. So theoretically, you can fulfill the mitzvah with day 1 and day 49, according to Rav Sadia Gaon. So we have all the three opinions here, and the Shulchan Aruch has chayshish for all three opinions. Let's talk
about...
Let
me ask you a question.
Go ahead, Toby.
What if you made a mistake and you counted the first night at the first Seder?
Yeah. So...
What do you do the next night?
Correct. That's a good question. So the person he counted, presumably he made a bracha, so there's nothing he can do now for the bracha. The bracha was a bracha levatala, but that counting was meaningless. So he can now, it's as if he counted, you know, on a random Tuesday. So now he can start counting properly and start the mitzvah again at the proper time. With a bracha. Yeah, the counting that he did before was just totally irrelevant. Now, let's talk about the opinion of the Bahag, and let's talk about some of the ins and outs of the opinion of the Bahag, because after all, the Shulchan Aruch is choshish for the Bahag, and that's our minhag, that if somebody forgets to count entirely, the halacha is that he no longer makes a bracha, in deference to the opinion of the Bahag, that it's one long mitzvah. Let's talk about the Bahag. The Achronim, the later commentaries, have a lot of trouble understanding the Bahag. If the Bahag is right, that the 49 counts is one long mitzvah that takes 49 days to complete, why do we make a bracha every single night? We should make a bracha the first night, and that bracha should cover the whole long mitzvah. If let's say bedikas chametz. So if it takes you, I don't know how long it took people. It took me about a half hour. I do it fairly quickly. I make a bracha before, and then I go through the house and I check for chametz. I don't keep on making a bracha every time I check another bookshelf or every time I check another room. I make one bracha on the entire bedikas chametz. So why can't I make one bracha at the beginning of the svira? It's one long mitzvah. Why can't the bracha at the beginning? Why doesn't that bracha cover the entire svira so'aymer? Why do I make a bracha every day? So bishleim l'shitas Tosfos, according to Tosfos, that every night is a separate, independent mitzvah. So every mitzvah deserves its own bracha. And even if I didn't count one of the nights, I can make it. I can continue counting another night, demonstrating that each night is a separate mitzvah. Each night deserves its own bracha. But according to the Bahag, that it's all one long mitzvah, it should be suffice the bracha at the beginning. Why do I make a bracha every single night? This is a big problem with the opinion of the Bahag. Now, the Brisker Rav that I quoted before, he actually anticipates this question. He addresses the question. His answer is not entirely clear. The Brisker Rav says the following. He's talking about the opinion of the Bahag that it's one long mitzvah. This that I make a bracha every day, mishum dechein hadin. So the Brisker Rav says a cryptic statement. Because this is the halacha with every mitzvah. Calls man shalei kayim es kula, as long as you did not fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety, the mevarech gam al chelek mimena, you do make a bracha on every component of the mitzvah. So the Brisker Rav basically is like a hit and run. He doesn't explain himself. He doesn't give us any other example of such a thing. But he says that you make a bracha on every component of the mitzvah. Look at the Sfiras Omer, according to the Bahag, as if it's building blocks. You're putting another building block on the mitzvah. Another building block. You're creating a construct of 49 days. Every time you add another brick to the mitzvah, to the fulfillment of the mitzvah, it requires a bracha. The Brisker Rav, it's not clear what his intent is, because he says that's the halacha regarding every mitzvah. He doesn't really explain himself. I saw that it was brought in the name of the Rav Poyalim. The Rav Poyalim is the Ben Ish Chai. He writes like this. He explains, and this might be the intent of the Brisker Rav as well, that every chelik of a mitzvah is a chatzi shir. So just like if when we say that you're not allowed to eat a kizayis of non-kosher food, a nevela, unslaughtered meat. You're not allowed to eat a kezias, the size of an olive. That's the violation. If a person eats a kezias, the size of an olive, of non-kosher food, see, he violated the complete avera. Just like if you eat a kezias of matzah, you fulfill the mitzvah of eating the matzah the night of the Seder. If you eat a kezias of something that's forbidden, he violated whatever the forbidding, whatever it was. There's a concept of a chatzi shir. There's a concept of half the amount. What happens if I eat half of a kezias? So I didn't violate the entire iser. Was it permitted to eat that? Am I allowed to eat two-thirds of an olive size? I didn't get the full violation. Is it permitted to eat half a shear? So the halacha is that chatzi shear, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that chatzi shear is asur min haTorah. We paskin that even half the amount is a Torah violation. We see you as if you're engaged in a prohibition. Even though I don't get the full violation, I wouldn't be liable to lashes or whatever the punishment is, because I didn't violate the prohibition completely, but you were engaged in a violation, chatzi shear. So says the Rav Poyalim, says the Ben Ish Chai, that you see from the opinion of the Bahag that you're building the mitzvah one day at a time. Every day of the mitzvah, it's one long mitzvah, but every day of the mitzvah is a building block, is a chatzi shir. It's a component of the mitzvah. So the Ben Ish Chai asks this question, why am I making a bracha every night? And his conclusion is that you see from here that you recite a bracha on a chatzi shir, you recite a bracha even on a component, because I'm engaged in the mitzvah, even though it's not the complete mitzvah, but I'm engaged in the mitzvah. Going back to the bedikas chametz, so I would assume that since you're doing it all at once, it takes you an hour to do bedikas chametz, but you're doing it all at once, so the bracha will cover everything. But assuming, imagine if you'd be doing, our custom is that we don't recite a bracha if you do bedikas chametz two nights before. But imagine if I'm doing bedikas chametz and I start checking and then I get interrupted and I have to go away and I come back. So that would be like an analogous situation where I would make another bracha because I'm completing the mitzvah. I interrupted the bracha the first time. So you make a bracha on half a mitzvah. That's perhaps what the Brisker Rav means as well. Go ahead. Yes? Yes? Sure, go ahead. Sure.
So it's the seventh night of Hanukkah. And you lit three candles, and somebody rang the doorbell, or you were interrupted, the baby fell off the crib, whatever. You deal with what you dealt with. Now you come back, you have four more candles to light. do you make another bracha?
So that's a good question. The answer is you don't make another bracha because the rest is hiddur. The rest is hiddur. That's why. In other words, the mitzvah is only one, and the hiddur is the rest. You don't make a bracha on the hiddur. The poskim have to actually talk about that. You don't make a bracha on the hiddur. But if you're doing the actual mitzvah, like my example of bedikas chametz when you were interrupted, or the bahag, every day is another component towards that one mitzvah, but it's another day, so therefore you make another bracha because you're continuing in the mitzvah. The example of Ner Chanukah, it's just a hiddur on the mitzvah, but you already fulfilled the mitzvah with the first candle. So that's a very good point. Now, so that's point number one. I'm sorry.
Does that explain why Ashkenazim make two brachas on Tefillin?
That's a good discussion. That's a machlekes how to read Gemara in Menachas. Yeah, that's a separate discussion. That's a good point. Now, we have over here. So we have the Bahag. I just want to talk about the Bahag. We have the Bahag. So question number one on the Bahag was, why do you make a bracha every night? So we suggested an answer from the Briska Rav and from the Ben Ish Chai, because you make a bracha even on a component of the mitzvah. That's a question and an answer. Now we have another question about the Bahag. What happens if I'm counting my Sfira, and let's say I'm up to day 20, and then what happens if I forget to count the next night? What happens if I would forget to count tomorrow? So what would happen? Does that render the brachas that I've been making the first 20 days retroactively as bracha levatala because I never ended up completing the mitzvah? So I can no longer count with a bracha. Does lemafreya thus become a bracha levatala because it turns out I never did the mitzvah? So the Sefer Avodas HaKodesh, that's a Sefer from the Chidah, so he writes the following, and indeed he holds that according to the Bahag, if you forget to count, it renders retroactively all of your brachas as brachas in vain. So he warns us, he is daritz, a person has to be careful, v'yasa simanim, and he has to make signs for himself, shelo yishkach laila echad, don't forget a day, k'she'enu moinev etzibor, like nowadays, if you're not counting in a tzibor, you're counting by yourself, you're at home, you're not going to shul, you're counting by yourself. Make a sign, make an alarm clock, maybe get a text. You know, nowadays they have these apps, they send you a text. Don't forget to count the Sfira. So get some kind of a sign for yourself to count the Sfira. And he says, because if you forget one of the days, you won't be able to count with the bracha anymore. And l'mafreya, he says, Kol habrachas milayla sha'avru levatala. So I highlighted that everything that you did lemafreya will be a bracha levatala, and on top of that, you nullified a positive commandment. So that's the opinion of the Chidah, that according to the Bahag, everything I did until now, if I don't complete the mitzvah, everything I did until now is worthless, and it renders my bracha a bracha levatala. That's according to the Bahag. Again, according to Tosfos, every night is an independent mitzvah. Whatever you did is locked in, and whatever you did, you did. Every night's a separate mitzvah. Every night deserves its own bracha. But according to the Bahag, that it's one long mitzvah, and you're building up to the culmination of day 49, if you end up not counting one of the nights and you can no longer fulfill the mitzvah, not only can't I fulfill the mitzvah going forward, but it renders all my previous brachas a bracha levatala. That's the opinion of the Chidah in according to the Bahag. However, the Shulchan Shlomo, the Mishnah Berurah brings the Shulchan Shlomo. The Shulchan Shlomo is talking about if women count the Sfira. Some people have the custom women count. Some people have the custom that women do not count. Technically, most of the Poskim say that women are exempt from counting because it's a mitzvah that's time-related. So women are exempt from counting. However, women want to fulfill the mitzvah. Just like women shake a lulav, they hear the shofar, they want to fulfill the mitzvah, so they want to count. So the Mishnah Berurah says, this is back in the old days, yes.
So maybe if we choshesh according to the Chida, we should not say the bracha at all from the beginning.
Oh, so people say that. People ask that question. According to the Bahag, if a person is alo, according to the Chida, that's correct. If a person is alo, if a person knows that he's forgetful and he knows that he's not going to be able to count, or he's choshesh, you won't be able to count, according to the Chidah, it probably would be recommended not to make a bracha in the first place. But we're going to, as we go along, we're going to see that most people disagree with the Chidah. We're going to see in a minute. That's a good point, Rav Gidol. Now, the Mishnah Berurah brings that women are allowed to count and they're allowed to recite a bracha. But says the Mishnah Berurah, he brings from the Eben Shlomo, he brings from the Binyan Shlomo, that back then in the day when the women didn't go to shul, the women didn't, they didn't go to yeshiva, they weren't learned back then. Nowadays, a lot of women are more educated than the men. But back then, says the Binyan Shlomo, you have to be careful, the Shulchan Shlomo, you have to be careful because if a woman forgets, then he says they won't, here I quoted, look what he says here, the women should not make a bracha, because it's almost certain they'll make a mistake, and they won't know the halacha. What halacha is he referring to? They're not going to know the halacha that they can no longer count with a bracha. So the Shulchan Shlomo does not say that retroactively the bracha would be in vain. He says the problem is that they don't know the halacha that they can no longer count with the bracha. So we have an argument between the Chida and the Shulchan Shlomo according to this Bahag. If it's one long mitzvah, what happens if I forget and I don't complete the mitzvah? Does it render my bracha levatala, retroactively, lemafreya? According to the Chida, everything I've done until now is worthless, and my bracha is levatala. But the Shulchan Shlomo says that you just have to be careful not to count with the bracha going forward, but he seems to imply that it does not render my bracha lemafreya. Now, there's a very fascinating analogy. We have two analogies here. Whenever I'm in the middle of doing a mitzvah and I made a bracha, and then for some reason I don't complete the mitzvah, does it render my bracha levatala in vain or not? So we have two different references here that we can debate which of the two is more analogous to Sfiras HaOmer. So on the one hand, there's a fascinating ritva in Maseches Cholim. The ritva says like this: imagine if I washed my hands to eat bread and I recited a bracha, al matilas yadayim, like I was supposed to. I washed and I made a bracha. Then, for some reason or another, I decided not to eat. I was hichlet shloi lechel, I decided not to eat. Maybe I got an important phone call, I have to run out. Maybe I don't feel well now, I changed my mind, I don't want to eat. So I already washed my hands for bread, and I said al matilas yadayim, and then for some reason, I choose not to eat. So says the Ritva, Ein mechayven oso lecho, we do not force you, the halacha does not force you to eat. Someone could think, I already washed with a bracha, maybe now I have to eat the bread. So says the Ritva, we don't force you to eat the bread. The halacha does not force you, does not compel you to eat the bread, and it will not, in order that my bracha shouldn't be levatala. Now here's the quote from the Ritva, the hamikivin shenot al yadav, because when at the time that you washed, you washed, right? At the time that I washed, gamra la birkas hanatila she'alehu humavarech. You were justifiably made a bracha on that natila, because at the time that you washed your hands, you were planning to eat, you had the right to make a bracha, so the bracha was effective on the washing. Even though we never would have told you to wash with a bracha if you would have known ahead of time that you're not going to eat bread. Every time I wash my hands, I don't make a bracha. But if I'm washing my hands with the intent to eat bread, and I'm coming to fulfill the takana, the halacha of washing before bread, I was allowed to make a bracha. So that's it. The bracha was effective. The bracha was locked in. And even if I subsequently decide not to eat bread, it does not render my bracha a bracha levatala. So you see from the Ritva that if you made the bracha properly at the time, the bracha already registered, and the bracha is not vulnerable. The bracha does not become a bracha levatala limafrei. So there are those who compare this to the Bahag. If we're saying already, we discussed why do I make a bracha every night, but if we're saying already that you make a bracha every night, because every night is a component of the mitzvah, so once I had the right to make the bracha registered. If I have the right to make the bracha was chal, the bracha was effective. And therefore, it would not, lemafreya, it would not retroactively become a bracha levatala. I wrote in the brackets that it's easy, it's relatively easy to make a distinction that washing your hands is a separate mitzvah. Washing your hands for bread, washing your hands is the mitzvah, and then you want to eat. So perhaps someone can say that you can't compare Sfiras HaOmer to the washing of the hands because washing of the hands is indeed a complete mitzvah, but the Sfiras HaOmer is all one big mitzvah. But there are those who make this analogy that once you had the right to make a bracha, then it will not become, it can never become retroactively a bracha levatala, because as long as at the time you had the right to make the bracha was effective. Now, there's another famous Maramakam, there's another famous reference in the Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Ayin Beis, that it says there, Tosfos says there, that a woman, before she goes to the mikvah, she counts 7 days, 7 clean days. So Tosfos asks, why didn't the Chachamim make a takana that a woman should count every day of her sfira and recite a bracha? She's fulfilling the mitzvah of sfira, of counting her 7 clean days and going to the mikvah. So Tosfos says like this. Tosfos says, So Tosfos says, the Ein Mevarchin, that's exactly what Tosfos says. Ein Mevarchin, Ela B'Yovel. Because Tosfos says, when do we find that you count? You count Yovel. When the Beis Din counts the 50 years until the Yovel year, the Jubilee year, Beis Din counts every year and they make a bracha. Another example is Sfiras HaOmer. V'chein Omer, says Tosfos, you count the Sfiras HaOmer, you're counting towards the Omer. Abel Zava, but a woman who had a flow, so she's a Nida, She'ein Tira Tistor, that if she sees more dam, she's going to have to start over. Ein lo linmois levarach, she should not count and should not make a bracha, because the counting is out of her control. If she ends up seeing another flow that's going to retroactively nullify what she counted, she's going to have to start again, and therefore we can't enact a bracha for such a thing. So it sounds like from Tosfos that Svira Zivasa, they did not make a tekana to make a bracha, because if she ends up seeing and she destroys her count, the minion, the count, goes down the drain. So that would be another reference that it's not proper to make a bracha if you don't complete the mitzvah, and that would be sort of a support to the chida, that if you don't end up completing the count, then it wouldn't be proper to make the bracha. So on the one hand, we have the ritva, that each of these things is a whole different sort of reference. It's just a reference to make an analogy. We have the ritva, that if you wash your hands for bread and you recited a bracha, that bracha is locked in and nothing will make it a bracha levatala. We also have the Tosfos in Ksubis, that if a woman would begin her count of her 7 clean days, if she would see dam in the middle of the count, it would nullify her count and she has to start over. So because of that, it's not proper to make a bracha. So the question is, where does Sfiras HaOmer fall in between these two references, in between these extremes? Do we compare it to Netilas Yadayim? To what extent is every day a building block? What extent is every day justifiable to make a bracha? Do we say it's like Netilas Yadayim, that once you can make a bracha on it, the bracha is locked in? Or do we say that it's a count? And since it's a count, if you don't fulfill the count, then you wouldn't be able to make a bracha. And again, it's easy to distinguish between the woman counting her 7 clean days and the Sfiras HaOmer, because if a woman's counting her 7 clean days, if she indeed sees, she has to start over again from scratch. Maybe that's why Tosfos says it's not proper to make a bracha. But over here, whatever I counted was true. I'm not starting over again from scratch. I'm not starting again from day one. I just can't continue my count. So that's a reason to differentiate. So it's very unclear what the Bahag would say, right? We have the Chida on one side, that it makes it a bracha levatala. He seems to compare it to the woman counting her 7 clean days. But then we also have, on the other hand, the Shulchan Shlomo, who would be more analogous to the Ritva of washing your hands, that once you locked in the bracha, you locked in the bracha. Now, there's a whole nother understanding for the Bahag. Until now, we understood the Bahag that it's one long mitzvah. It's one long mitzvah. And that's what prompted our discussion. According to the Bahag, that it's one long mitzvah, why do I make a bracha every night in the first place? So we discussed that. And that also brings up the question, if I fail to complete the count, what does that do to my previous brachas because I didn't fulfill the mitzvah? So that was our previous understanding of the Bahag. That was the Briska Rav's explanation. And that was the Sefer HaChinuch's explanation, that it's one long mitzvah. There's a whole nother understanding of the Bahag, which would make it a little bit easier, not like the Minchas, not like the Sefer HaChinuch, and not like the Briska Rav. Perhaps the Bahag does not mean to argue that it's one long mitzvah. Perhaps the Bahag also agrees that each night is an independent, separate mitzvah, and you make a bracha and you count each night independently as a separate mitzvah. Maybe all the Bahag means, if I forget a night that I can no longer continue my count with a bracha, all the Bahag might mean is because you can no longer fulfill the mitzvah, even though each night is its own independent mitzvah, but it has to be consecutive. Imagine if you count. If a person's counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then he skips one, and he says 6, right? So he is at the right place, but he didn't count 6. He only counted 4, and then he skipped 1, and then he counted 6. So he has 6 in his hand, but he didn't count 6. He only counted 5. He just skipped a day, and he said 6 instead of saying 5. So maybe what the Bahag meant, when the Bahag said that the Pasuk requires tmimos, maybe the Pasuk is giving us a definition how the count has to be fulfilled. It's true that each night is its own independent mitzvah, but you're only counting that night properly if it's built upon the previous count. If you wake up out of nowhere and you count on day 10, you say day 10, and you haven't been counting the days before, that's not called that you counted 10. So each night is a cumulative mitzvah. It's another mitzvah. It's an independent mitzvah, but it's cumulative. You have to be counting it. You had to arrive at that number because you've been counting until then. So if I forget to count day 10, I can no longer continue day 11 because day 11 is no longer day 11. It's not because it's one long mitzvah. It's really, each night is really its own mitzvah. But I can no longer fulfill counting day 11 if I didn't count day 10 because my 11 is no longer 11. My 11 is 10. And if I skip 10 and go to 11, I didn't really arrive at the number 11 through a count of tmimos. I just wanted to bring back to our attention that when we saw the Sefer HaChinuch in the very beginning, and the Chinuch was arguing on the Bahag, the Chinuch actually said, if you forgot last night, just say that last night was 10 and today is 11. We pointed that out. Why would the Chinuch say that? Because the Chinuch is addressing this issue. Even if you hold that when you arrive at the number 11, you can only arrive at 11 if you've counted the past 10, but the Chinuch says you can rectify that by saying that yesterday was 10 and today is 11, right? So the Chinuch himself is addressing this issue, that he also agrees that you can't arrive at the number 11 unless you've counted the previous 10. He just holds that you can make it up by saying yesterday was 10. But perhaps the Bahag holds that you can only arrive at 11. Your counting of day 11 is only considered the number 11 if you've counted the previous 10 days. So it's not that it's one long mitzvah. Each day is a separate mitzvah, but there's no way to fulfill the count of today if it hasn't been consecutive. Now, according to this understanding of the Bahag, so all of our questions fall away. Number one, you have to make a bracha every night, just as you do according to the other opinions, because each night is indeed a separate mitzvah. And number two, even if you're afraid that you're not going to count eventually, that you're going to forget a day, but each night that you've counted until now was a consecutive count, even according to the Bahag, and you fulfilled all of those 10 mitzvahs if it was 10 nights. The only reason you can't continue to count is because your number 12, let's say, is not a 12 because you forgot 11. It's not consecutive. But what you've counted until now counts. That is two ways of understanding the opinion of the Bahag. Number one, it's one long mitzvah. That's like the mainstream understanding of the Bahag. And then the explanation that we're suggesting is that each night is its own mitzvah, but it has to be consecutive in order that your 11 is really an 11. Now, Tosfos in Megillah, and this was my diak, Tosfos in Megillah, I started off with this. What happens according to the Bahag if you didn't count that night? So the Bahag says you can still make it up the next day. Most opinions quote the Bahag that you can even make a bracha the next day. But the Tosfos in Megillah, when he brings the Bahag that you forgot to count last night, you can still count in the day, but you should count without a bracha, says the Tosfos in the name of the Bahag. Why? Because when you count the next day, you're not really fulfilling the mitzvah. However, the following day, you can resume counting with a bracha. So I think Tosfos in Megillah would be consistent with this new understanding. You have to count the next day as a placeholder in order to have that day counted. And that way you can resume your mitzvah by counting the following day with a bracha. The Achronim say, now Rav Gidon, this is what you brought up, the Achronim talk about, let's say if Leolein, a person has surgery that's scheduled, so he knows in the middle of the Sefiras HaOmer, he's not going to count one day. He anticipates that. He's starting on day one, and he knows that 2 weeks from now he has surgery scheduled. he's going to be out of it for the next 24 hours, sometime during the Sfira. Should he start counting with a bracha or not? So the Achronim say, so we have the issue with the Chida versus the Shulchan Shlomo, if it'll ruin my count. So says the Achronim, preferably, if you anticipate not being able to continue the count, you should preferably hear the bracha from someone else. But if the person can't do that, he's davening at home, even if you anticipate forgetting a day going forward, you're still allowed to count with a bracha now. Number one, you can rely on the opinion of the Ri, that each night is a separate bracha. And number two, you can rely on the opinion of the Shulchan Shlomo that we do not view your brachas retroactively as void, because we compare it to the Netilas Yadayim, that as long as you had the right to make the bracha at the time, then your bracha was already effective. Okay, Yasha Koyach. Thank you very much.
Rabbi Berg.
Yes.
Yes. You know, when they're assigning, I know that the Ashkenaz don't mention